Brian Lehrer on WNYC tonight at 8. The next GOP debate comes our way from New Hampshire. It'll be focused entirely on the economy, they tell us. And as usual, our politics website, itsafreecountry.org, will live stream the debate, so you can actually watch the debate on our radio site. And you can join a simultaneous live online chat at itsafreecountry.org. Get together with your fellow WNYC politics junkies as you watch the Republican debate from New Hampshire tonight at 8 o'clock at itsafreecountry.org. Now, President Obama got two-thirds of the Latino vote in 2008, and you wonder, could any Republican candidates debating tonight in New Hampshire make headway with those voters? Texas Governor Rick Perry did visit Inwood in Upper Manhattan last month. He raised money from Latino business owners as well. Does the economy trump immigration reform when it comes to Latino voters? Joining me to talk about this is Angelo Falcone, president and founder of the National Institute for Latino Policy. And let's hear from any Latino voters in Inwood, in Washington Heights, Elmhurst, anywhere else in our listening area, who are Republicans or independents or who might consider voting for a Republican presidential candidate. 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692. Angelo, welcome back to WNYC.
Nice to be here.
So Rick Perry met with small business owners led by Fernando Mateo, head of the New York State Federation of Taxi Drivers, the Livery Cab Organization. He has supported Republicans before and makes the case that as a small business owner, he's more concerned with tax policies than immigration issues. How widespread do you think that feeling is?
No, not much. I think one of the problems is that Fernando Mateo within the Latino community has a very shaky reputation and also has been kind of a flip-flop. Last time we heard, he was an independent. He left the Republican Party, became independent, and now he reemerges as someone who invited Rick Perry, of all people, to come into Inwood, into very strange territory. I mean, it was so shocking that he even had Charlie Rangel pop in just to see what was happening.
Perry, I mean, one of the things that's come up for Perry in the debates is that he signed a bill in Texas allowing in-state tuition for the state universities to undocumented immigrants who were residents of Texas, something called a magnet for illegal immigration by Mitt Romney, right, you know, and a lot of Republicans.
Right. Well, I mean, that's not something he brought up, though, at this meeting up in Inwood. His focus there was, as you said, on small business development. And I think it's an issue that has really served to really kind of blow up in his face in terms of the Republican base that he's been trying to appeal to. Obviously, this issue of immigration is a very toxic issue within the Republican right. field. And I think one of the problems we're having is not only is it toxic, it also turns out to be kind of like this weird switch that a lot of the Republican candidates have, that when you talk about Latino voters, they immediately go to this issue of immigration as opposed to looking at Latino voters in the broadest sense of people who are in the majority American citizens and people who are concerned about jobs and other concerns that generally Americans have. So when you look at these debates and someone asks a question, how do you think the Republican Party can reach out to the Latino voters, boom, whole thing switches. All of a sudden, it's a whole discussion about immigration. It's a whole discussion about, well, as Santorum mentioned, he in the CNN Tea Party debate, instead of saying Latino voters, he said, oh, the illegal vote. So there's something that's happening in the mentality within that sector of the Republican Party and among the candidates that they just basically can't shake this illegal immigration issue and equating it with Latino voters. And that's really hurting, I think, the party in terms of any kind of outreach to the Latino community.
In one of the debates last month, Perry almost implied that he could embrace the DREAM Act. He certainly didn't say it. But listen to the language that he used in defending his stance on in-state tuition.
If you say that we should not educate children who have come into our state for no other reason than they've been brought there by no fault of their own, I don't think you have a heart.
So I guess I'm just wondering, you know, when he talks about kids who have been brought there through no fault of their own. That's the premise of the DREAM Act, that kids who are brought here as illegal immigrants when they're little and they grow up to do 2 years of college or 2 years of the military should be allowed to go for citizenship. And George W. Bush was a Texas governor who, I guess because of the population of Texas and the votes that he needed to get there to get elected, was for comprehensive immigration reform until it got defeated. And I wonder, you know, could Rick Perry be out of that mold?
Well, I think if you're the governor of Texas, you have to deal with the fact that basically Texas has about one-fifth of the Latino population in the country resides in Texas. Last election, he got about 38% of the Latino vote there. And so you have to basically grapple with that, the political realities of that, and also the reality that you have the largest portion of the border with Mexico that you have to deal with. But I think what's happening is that I think it really has created a backlash for his candidacy. It's created a real problem. He, in fact, this past year, had legislation that he proposed that didn't go anywhere. For example, banning what they call quote-unquote sanctuary cities in Texas, as basically, some people see it as, saw it as a way of kind of backtracking on this whole immigration stance that he's taken. So I think it's a problem. I think none of if you listen to the debate tonight, I'm sure they're not going to address the issue of the Latino community in general. They'll probably, again, focus on immigration because it's a hot issue. It's a very emotional issue. When I do a show like this sometimes and talk about immigration, issue, I inevitably get calls, people telling me to go back to where I came from, or go back to Mexico. And usually when I tell them I'm from Puerto Rico, they usually tell me they don't care what part of Mexico, just get the hell out of the country. It's a very emotional kind of thing.
Yeah.
And I think clearly when you talk about the base in the Republican Party, it's that type of an issue. And the candidates basically at this point, that they just focus on that aspect of it, not realizing also how offensive a lot of this language is to the Latino community.
Angelo Falcone, president and founder of the National Institute for Latino Policy, as we talk about the Republican presidential field. You made a point of saying that immigration is not the only thing that people should be talking about with respect to the Latino vote, and obviously that's true. In fact, I saw one poll recently, maybe you can cite it, that said that the economy has replaced immigration as the number one issue for now among Latino voters overall. When it comes to economic policy, are there certain things that you think are particularly Latino-friendly?
Well, I think the question is when you have a situation where the Latino unemployment rate is hovering close to like 12%, in a place like Puerto Rico, which basically is the residence of U.S. citizens, it's around 16%. That issue of our place in the economy obviously becomes very important in terms of the president's proposal for this Jobs Act and all that becomes a priority. It's hard to separate from the immigration issue, however, because so much of that revolves around the issue of jobs as well when you talk about immigration, and also when you talk about the immigration, it also becomes a broader kind of question because you're basically characterizing a whole population. Like I said, the vast majority of Latinos in this country are U.S. citizens. They're not immigrants. And yet, everything gets framed in that way. So even though Latinos, like other Americans, are worried about their economic situation, the loss of, their economic position, the high unemployment rate, the high percentage of Latinos, much higher than anybody else, that don't have health insurance, on and on and on, those issues get overshadowed by this immigration question.
38%, the figure you mentioned, of the Latino vote that Rick Perry got in Texas, sounds like a lot, but it's also not that different from the national Latino vote for president. If Obama got two-thirds, then that's about 35%, 33%, 34%. For the Republican John McCain, who are that 34%, and how are they different from the two-thirds who tend to vote Democratic? Because those numbers tend to be fairly consistent over recent elections.
Sure. Well, you know, one of the things that's interesting, even though people think of Latinos as recently arrived Americans, people who just came to this country, there is, especially in the Mexican-American community, a population that's been here for centuries, that was here before this country was the United States of America. And so you have folks that have been here a long time. You have a small but growing middle class in the Latino community. And so that becomes a core, and that becomes the of the Republican vote that you see in the Chavez, anywhere from like 30% to 40%. And so that's there. And there are also Latinos, for example, that don't support immigration reform, that also agree with, let's say, the Tea Party on that issue. So what we're seeing is that Latino community, its politics is getting more kind of complex, because as we've been here longer, as you begin to see a growing middle class, it the politics begins to change. However, the kind of setbacks we've been seeing in terms of the kind of punitive immigration laws that we've seen, especially at the state level, and as look at the kind of economic blowback that we've had in terms of the impact on employment and all that, that also creates a situation where, it's very hard to justify kind of these what some people consider this anti-immigrant, anti-Latino, policies of the Republican Party, especially when the language that a lot of these Republican candidates use are very offensive to Latinos.
President Obama has not gotten the immigration reform that he campaigned on, and in fact he has deported over 1 million undocumented immigrants, on pace to deport more in one term than George W. Bush did in two. Do you think that fact is very well known around Latino America, and that will keep voters either home on Election Day out of apathy, even if they don't want to vote for a Republican, or will that depend perhaps on how vociferous the Republican candidate is or isn't?
Yeah, well, I think it really is going to. I mean, people in the Latino community are very familiar with this, because it's affecting Latino communities and families in a very real way on a day-to-day basis. I mean, look at the situation in Alabama, where they passed a very punitive anti-immigration law to the point where children are not going to school for fear of being deported, the thousands of Latino students. This is something that hits at the heart of the reality of the Latino reality. But in terms of how it's going to play out next year, it's not clear. One thing is that there's a tremendous disappointment against the Obama administration, because he promised a lot, has delivered very little, but he is making all sorts of efforts to reach out to the Latino community. He's doing all sorts of things to do that. The Republican candidates have not even started any real serious outreach efforts in the community, except that their rhetoric is getting more and more negative towards Latinos. And I think the hope in the Obama administration is that Obama campaign is that, in fact, that, as you said, the Republican rhetoric, the Republican policies will drive Latinos to vote for Obama. I mean, I think at this point, that's the way it looks in terms of political strategy. And at this point, it's not very clear that Latinos are going to have much places to go beyond Obama in terms of the kinds of policies that would be supportive of the community. I mean, the Obama administration has a long way to go in terms of reaching out, in terms of actually having policies that are going to reach our community. But basically, the big question is, what's the alternative that Latinos have politically?
Do you see much difference at the policy level between Romney and Perry?
Not much. I mean, right now they're at this point, it's not very clear what their policies are, and at the same time they're competing they're competing basically for to get support from the base that basically is forcing them to come closer and closer together politically. So until we get into the field starting in January, when we have the primaries and they have to start appealing, I think, to a broader base within the Republican Party, I don't think we're really going to get any real clarity in terms of any of them being any more Latino-friendly than what we're seeing right now.
Before you go, do you know if Latino groups are joining in on any of the Occupy Wall Street protests?
Well, I mean, I'm beginning to see that movement. I'm beginning to see more groups through the unions and through some community organizations. I think you begin to see some momentum, but it's just at the beginning, and I think there we also have a long way to go in terms of trying to connect to that movement.
Angelo Falcone is president and founder of the National Institute for Latino Policy. I don't know. Real quick, what will you be watching the debate for tonight?
Me?
You.
Well, I won't.
You won't?
I'll probably be watching some show on one of the networks, you know, just to make sure I distract myself from these people.
Well, maybe it'll be the season premiere of Psych, which is, well, I guess that's Wednesday night, with James Roday and Dulé Hill, a rare black and Latino actor primetime co-star team, and we're going to talk to both of them next.
I think that's a good idea.
Angelo, thanks a lot, as always.
Great,
we
great
appreciate it. Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and we will talk to James Roday and Dulé Hill coming up in a minute. Brian Lehrer on WNYC. And again, don't forget, tonight at 8, when that debate starts, if you want to watch, unlike Angelo Falcone, we will have it streaming on our politics website. It's afreecountry.org, and hosting a live online simultaneous chat at the same time. So come and chat during the Republicans' debate from New Hampshire, 8 o'clock tonight on itsafreecountry.org.